decided to do the double album long before we ever actually set out to do it.
Long before we even started the band.
We talked about it long before we thought we could do it.
A double album is every band's dream, I hear.
It was in the DNA.
Okay, is it a concept album?
No.
However, it is kind of light, it is sort of scaled. There's two different CDs. One's called Dawn to Dusk, another's called Twilight to Starlight. What's the thinking behind that?
Kind of a day and night thing. Hmm. One's better for the day when you're rocking.
That's a good point, because the first album is kind of front-loaded with a whole bunch of hard rock tunes.
Right.
The second album has some very noisy stuff on it, but I think the last, like, five songs really takes the listener out pretty well.
Right.
That was the intent from the beginning?
We want to put you to sleep at the very end, yes.
That's the knockout punch.
Right.
Okay, now, it's, at the same time, I do hear some conceptual sort of things. I mean, you could look at it as a day in the life of some sort of every fan going through...
The every man.
Every what?
The every man.
We're into the every man.
The concept of the everyman.
We are the everyman.
We are the
especially
everyman.
Me.
But none of this was intentional. None of this was intentional. There's no concept behind it.
You never know.
Okay. Another thing people are going to notice about this record is how epic it is, how ambitious it is, and how diverse the music is. The Smashing Pumpkins have always dealt in diverse musical styles, but now we got weird electronic songs. We got a lullaby. We got a country song. Almost country and something that almost sounds as noisy as Nine Inch Nails.
Hey,
I'm thinking
it.
Of Lily.
That wouldn't be that burlesque song.
Yeah, that burlesque thing.
And the first use of a ukulele on the Smashing Pumpkins record. I'm just joking. Any thoughts about that? Is that
yeah,
part
like
of the concept of the record?
Tim for doing the guest appearance.
No, it's a really exciting record to do because we get to try all sorts of different crazy stuff. James had his kazoo out. You know.
My harmonica. My kazoo.
The other members of the band take vocal turns on the closing song?
Yes.
It must have been a positive experience for all of you.
Actually, it took forever.
To record that
James's
song?
James's part took forever. Yeah. I did mine.
Who screwed up? Whose fault was that?
One take, Jimmy.
Hey, we're all together on this. And,
okay, and how was it with Flood? Flood help you work on the diversity? Was he a steady influence?
Well, they were one of those English whips.
How'd you hook up with him?
We were really big fans of a lot of records that he'd done, like Crime City Solution and Erasure and Depeche Mode. And he made some really cool records with bands that you wouldn't necessarily like all their music, but somehow those records seemed to stand out. And I kept picking up these records and noticing this guy's name on, named Flood. So I met him at a party, and we talked, and I mentioned that I'd be interested in having him work with us at some point. He seemed interested, and we talked about it later, and that's how it worked out.
Hey, on Siamese Dream, the lead-off song, Cherub Rock, began with Let Me Out of Your Scene. Let Me Out of Your Scene. You were kind
no,
of...
See, no, see, never, I never said Let Me Out of Your Scene. I don't understand that.
What does it say?
It just says Let Me Out.
I
out of your scene. Out of your scene.
Your scene, man.
It seems that you could read that as a critique
sure.
of sort of the alternative rock world. This record seems to stay away from all that. I mean, now that you've headlined Lollapalooza, you must feel like you're pretty much in control of your place in the...
Well, we were reacting to what was like the old status quo, kind of, you know, the bands that were probably the more early alternative bands, like the Mudhoneys and people like that. I mean, bands that we liked and we couldn't understand why they had a problem with us. Suddenly, you know, we were like the bane of their existence, and we couldn't really understand why. Having been fans and having followed the bands, it was hard for us to understand. So it was kind of a negative reaction to a lot of the vitriolic crap that came out of all that, you know. So it wasn't, and it was, you know, it was something, you know, and plus it was some of the stuff that had gone on in Chicago too. But you know, it's great now because we're in a totally different position, and there's not much to really say that can stop us or hurt us or keep us from being what we are, and that's a much nicer position to be in. Thank you.